saying that? I tried trusting myself, and guess what? I failed me. Amen? I failed me over and over and over again. So I've learned that only through Christ and Christ alone can we truly have any security in anything. And which is a good prelude to our sermon today, how Jesus divides the kingdom. You know that not everybody's going? You know, there are a lot of folks that say, everybody's going, but that's not necessarily true. Although the kingdom is open for anybody who will come, only a few are going to actually desire God enough to go. Only a few are going to actually answer the call of salvation, although the call goes out for everybody in all places. And so as we're getting into this thought this morning, let's go to the Lord in prayer just real quick. Father, I thank you so much for your goodness and grace. I pray, Father God, even now, Lord Jesus, that you would anoint us, allow us to see your righteousness. Father, help us to see the kingdom as it is. And Lord, prepare our hearts, Father, for the walking into the very presence of the Most High God. And we thank you for those things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus said in one of his parables, many are called, but few are chosen. I like that many are called, but only few are chosen. So how do you know that you're chosen? How do you know? I mean, you've been called. How do you know you're chosen? Well, you know, right? You know because the Spirit of God connects with the Spirit of the Father. Or the Spirit of the Father connects with you. There's a fellowship there. There's something that meets. There's a changing, a conversion from light to from darkness to light, and that happens supernaturally in you. And I can look at you, and I think that you're one way, but you may not be that way. A lot of people go to church, and they think that they're going. They think that they're in the kingdom. But really and truly, they've never surrendered to the call of God in their life, and they may not be, all right? That's not for me to say. Jesus put it this way, you must be born again. So let's start there, all right? If you want to know about the kingdom of heaven, if you want to be part of the kingdom of heaven, if you believe that there is a kingdom of heaven and you want to go, trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Step one, all right? Do that, and all these other things will happen. It'll come along. He will sanctify you. He will work in you. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus, that unless you're born again into the second birth, you will not even see the kingdom of God. Oh, the entrance of the kingdom is very exclusive, right? There's only a few people in the face of all of eternity that actually enter in. It's exclusive. Not everybody goes. In fact, Jesus said, you need to enter in by the straight gate, right? This is Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. And did you see what Jesus said? Because it's such a narrow way, it's such an exclusive way, although it's open up for anybody who will come, it's still a very narrow way to go. In fact, Jesus told Philip, how can we know the way? And Jesus said, hey, Phil, I am the way. And if you want to know the truth, I am the truth. And if you want to know about life, I am the life. And no man goes to the Father except through me or but by me. Right? You can only get to the Father, you can only get to the kingdom through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Jesus said, if you try to get into another way, you're a thief and a robber, right? If you try to climb into the kingdom some other direction, you're going to be found out and you're going to be expelled. Where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Which to me makes a stark reality in life. Because I want the kingdom. Amen. I know that you do. Y'all folks have been here long enough. I believe that you do. You know, but nobody really knows what goes on behind closed doors. That's between you and the Lord, right? But God sees those things that are going on behind closed doors. In fact, Jesus even told those who had come. come to him saying, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied? Have we done great things in your name? And Jesus says, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. Now on the outside, people may have not known that they weren't workers of iniquity. They preached, right? They were doing many great works, but God looks at the heart, not on the outside of things. I like that about God, because if you looked on my outside, you'd say, there's no way that that cat's going. Right? He is a dirty dog. There's no way that he's going. He can't go. He's a sinner. Praise God. Yes, I am. So are you. Amen. There's none righteous. Nope, not one. Amen. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And anyhow, it's not of works that we have done that gets us into the kingdom. But it is indeed the grace of God that makes that way. And through that, if you'll open your Bibles, we'll be in a couple different places today. But let's start in Ephesians chapter 1. And I'm going to read through verse 3 to verse 13. Say amen when you get there, because I don't want to lose you. Amen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, just hold on real quick. How many spiritual blessings do you have to those who believe in Him? All. How many is that? Well, it's all of them. It's all. If you want to have a spiritual blessing, make sure that you are in Christ Jesus. Amen? Because that's where they all come from. Spiritual blessings. And where is it held at? In the heavenly places, right? You may not experience many good things in this life, but that's okay. I have a reward in the kingdom. Jesus said He's going to make a place for me. Praise God. In His house are many dwelling places, many mansions in the very presence of God. And glory to God for that. And He says, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. Wow-wee! That ought to make you screaming happy right there. I know there's only a few, but are you excited about those few verses? Yeah. What are you in Christ Jesus? He has a promise for you. He has a place for you. He has an assurance for you. You've been predestined. Now, how's God do that? I do not know. I don't know. Before the foundation of the world, before my daddy knew my mama, before my great-great-great-grandfather knew my great-great-grandmother, He knew me. Right? He knew me. When I was still drunk on the side of the street, He knew me. When I was all tangled up in the ways of the world, He knew me. And He said, I know Him, and He's going to answer my call someday. And when I answered His call, guess what I found out? I was chosen before the foundation of the world. But until I answered His call, I did not know that. I had no understanding of that until I was born again. I had no concept of who God is, His great love for me. I had no way of knowing those things until that day the light came on. And I walked out of the darkness by holding on to the hand of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And He led me into the light. Right? And when I got led into the light, all of these promises started coming true to me. And verse 6, I found out that I would be to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. Accepted. God accepts me. While I was yet a sinner, He accepted me. He said, I love you. I want to offer you the kingdom, son. I want you to be here. I accept you. I want you. Man, nobody ever wanted me before Jesus did. They didn't. My mom didn't want me. I mean, she had me, but outside of the womb, we were pretty much on our own. You're in your own room once you were out of the womb. You know, there was not a whole lot of things went on that were good, but God knew me then. He loved me then. He called me then. I didn't realize it then, but I look now, looking back, I can definitely see God's fingerprints in my life all the way through. And it says, in whom? Whom?
Him. Jesus.
Who is him?
Jesus.
Say his name.
In Where Jesus. Is
in Jesus. Jesus. Amen. In Jesus we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to his riches and grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. He, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath proposed in himself, purposed in himself. Now think of those things. He has a kingdom for you. He's purposed you for that. He's letting you know the mystery. Remember what he told the disciples as he was explaining what the parables were all about? This is that you could know the mysteries that were hidden before the foundation of the world. And he has let you know about this mystery of the kingdom of God that is alive, that is available, that you can be accepted in. That's good news. To me it is, anyhow, maybe not to everybody. Well, anybody who knows it, it's good news to them. Those who don't know it, it's not such good news. And it's good news whether they know it or not. I take that back. The Holy Spirit just smacked me in the back of the head. He says, listen, son, it's good. Even if they don't know it, it's still good news because it's still available. Right? And so that mystery, that in the dispensation of time, in the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him. In whom? Whom? Jesus. Amen. In Jesus also we have obtained an inheritance. You have an inheritance in Christ Jesus, in the kingdom. You know, you may not have it. You have it here, but you might not have possession of it here. Right? I've got promises that I'll get answered in the heaven and in kingdom more than I'll understand here. Right now I see as through a glass, right? I see just a sparkle here and there. I really don't understand the things I think I know, but there will come a day that I will know. All right, there'll be a day that my faith shall be made sight, and all the things I got curiouser about, they'll be answered, and I'll know those things. I can't wait for that. I'll be glad one day when this corruption puts on incorruption, and I will no longer be a sinner. Man, a day that I will wake up sinless someday. Amen. With no sin. Amen. What a blessing that's. Praise God. That's good news. All right. In whom? Verse 11. In whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. In whom ye also trusted afterward. You heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I said all that to say that. All right? I went through all of that stuff to let you know that when you accept Jesus Christ, something supernatural happens. When you surrender to Jesus Christ, something supernatural happens. You're born again, right? And then he gives us the Holy Spirit, and he seals us unto the day of redemption. There's a day that all of this aluminum cans are going to be brought to the redeeming place up the road, right? We got one in Caledonia. You bring all your bottles and cans. They redeem it, right? See, you when you bought that originally, it cost you 5 cents more than what it was actually worth. All right, and the state of New York says, well, if you'll bring that recyclable piece of material back, you can redeem it for the thing that you overpaid for it in the first place. Well, that's what God did for you. He redeemed you. He paid the price for you. And let me tell you, he overpaid for you, right? He paid for you way more than what you were worth. Right? He paid with his precious blood. He paid for you through his death, burial, and resurrection, the price of salvation. And there's coming a day that he will redeem those who are his own. Right? Right now we're being stuck in a plastic bag and we're waiting. Right? But there's coming a day that he's going to bring us to the redemption center. There's coming a day of resurrection. There's a coming a day when all of this stuff that we have hoped for, And praise God for this, Lord. Thanks for even that thought about the redeeming center. Right? That's not here. But you know, when you get those cans, you got to rinse them out first. If not, they become a sticky mess, right? Jesus rinses us out. He cleanses us. He picks us up off the side of the road full of old goo, slugs, stuff like that. He's going around on the side of the road picking us up. We're filled with all this garbage, all this nastiness. He brings us to the water, to the washing of the Word, and He sticks us in there and He rinses us out. He goes out in the slugs and the slime, all that kind of stuff. He purties us up, sticks us in the bag and says, that's redeemed right now, but there's coming a day I'm going to redeem that. There's coming a day that the fullness of all the work that I've done is going to be made whole in the kingdom. Glory to God for that, right? How about you, old slimy, dirty can? And he talks about that Holy Spirit. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit, which is the earnest, which means down payment of the inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Amen? When I was going over that and thinking about the kingdom this week, I almost exploded. And what a mess that would have been. Y'all would have been in my office with a mop, squishing up, a squeegee squishing up Pastor Curtis off the floor. God loves you just that much. But there is a thing that God is going to do in us. And there is a real division, right? There's a true division, good fish, bad fish, right? We're going to talk about that. You'll need to open up your Bibles from Matthew, back to Matthew. There's good fish, there's bad fish, and actually there's sheep and there's goats. And both of these parables that we're going to be going over today is about the division, right? There's a division. Now the kingdom of God, Jesus is going to talk about, is like a great net that's dropped down into the ocean. It picks up all different kinds of fishes. Good fishes, bad fishes. And all the fish are able, right? They're all caught. But there comes a time that the end of time. Okay, I'm talking this. Let's read out the Bible, right? I can talk it, but the Word of God, Jesus says it a lot better than what I do, right? And so if you'll just open up your Bibles to Matthew 13. Oh, I got a little marker thing in there. Praise God. Who would have figured? And it's this is called the parable of the net. Okay, All right. Do you see me struggling? And so, what I want to do before we get to the parable of the net is I want to go just a little bit past that, and Jesus ask if they understand what He's talking about. All right, because I've said this first part about first. From Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 13. I read that to you. And I want to ask you, and we've talked about several of the parables of the kingdom of God. I want to ask you what Jesus asked His disciples before we get into the parable of the net. And Jesus said unto them, have you understood these things? I'm going to ask you, have you understood what we've talked about so far? Or is it still kind of a mystery to you? Okay, He says, very good. Oh, bless your heart. And I mean that in the most sincere way, I really do. So anyhow, and Jesus said, have you understood these things? And they, meaning His disciples, because Jesus has pulled His disciples away from the crowd, and they're sitting down in a home for these last few teachings. Have you understood these things? And they said, yes, we do, Lord. And then verse 52, and then said He unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out his treasures things new and old. All right, you've been instructed in the kingdom. Jesus says that you're like a householder. All right, you know that we're also considered the temple of God, the dwelling place, the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit, that this Holy Spirit is in you. All right, now, when you've been instructed in the kingdom, you are now the dwelling place of God, right? And in you, He's revealing these mysteries, but it's not just for you, it's for everybody who comes into the house. And when those who come into the house, they're able to take this word from the old and from the new and expound the kingdom of God to them. Because you've been instructed on how to do it, when to do it, and where to do it. Right? And as you're expounding the kingdom of God to folks, and that's really what I want us to start doing this year in our witnessing and stuff, and not to not tell people about Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, because that's our hope, right? But also tell people about the kingdom of God, because that's what Jesus taught. He taught that more than he talked about his burial, resurrection. In fact, there's teensy about that, but about the kingdom, there's huge amounts of scripture about the kingdom of God. The hope that we have in the resurrection of Christ. The hope that we have that he's preparing us a place. The hope that we have that we are predestined to go there. And it's for anybody who will believe. That means yes, you drunkard, you drug addict, you prostitute, you whoremonger. It's for you too, right? If it's for me, it's for you. God doesn't, he's no respecter of persons. Now, he does know who is going to accept him and who isn't going to accept him, which I don't know, so that means I need to tell everybody, all right? I've got to tell everybody. Well, I don't think he deserves it. It doesn't matter what you think. Well, God didn't ask you your opinion. And if he did, you would have gave it to him and you would have been wrong, right? Unless your opinion lined up with the Word of God. And so anyhow, with that, you know, that you're, every scribe, every student, every learned person is instructed in the kingdom. Therefore, every scribe which is instructed, and you guys are being instructed about this, unto the kingdom of heaven, you're like a man, like a householder. You got something. You have a dwelling place of the Most High God within you. You are the tabernacle of the living God, right? And you're supposed to bring out of you all of your treasures, all of the treasures that God has put in you, both old and new. Now, there's two ways to look at it. You can look at it Old and New Testament. I like to look at it. I can tell people about who I was before Jesus and who I was after Jesus, right? The B.C. and the after death, A.D., right? There's before Christ and me, and then after I died and I became alive, right? About the resurrection that Jesus did in me. And that's how I like to witness to people. Really more than anything. And then as Jesus is talking, just a little bit before that, this is the sixth parable that we've gone over thus far, and it's the parable of the net. And Jesus said, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net, which cast into the sea and gathers of every kind. Okay, a net. Have you ever watched a net fisherman? They really don't care. I'm throwing the net. It's kind of like the sower and the seed. He threw the seed. He put the seed out wherever it happened to be. Some of it fell on good ground. Some of it fell on bad ground. Some fell in the weeds. And you know the parable that we went over to start with, and the parable of the tares and the wheat and the tares is of the same type, right? And so the kingdom of heaven is like this. He opens it up that anybody within the circle can be caught up in it. All right, now it's not my job, like the tares and the wheat, it's not my job to say that you're a good fish or bad fish. It's not my job to say that you're a wheat and you're a tare. It's not my job to care about anybody else that's caught up in this kingdom principle, right? Except for me. Now it sounds pretty stingy, right? Well, I can't make you holy. I can't be the Holy Spirit for you, and you can't be the Holy Spirit for me. I need to make sure that this vessel, this fish, this wheat, this seed has fallen in the right place. Right? Because God called us, and what we do with the knowledge of what he has done really makes the difference of where you're going to go. It's either heaven or hell. There's no two ways about it. You're either going up or you're going in or out. Right? And Jesus said it's like a net which is thrown out. And when it is when it was full, so that lets you know that there's a time here. He, excuse me, is not the virus, all right? As I choked on some spit, I breathed in when I was talking out, and I just got choked on some spit. So y'all ain't going to die, okay? This ain't that beer virus. What's it called?
Beer virus.
Corona. It's not the coronavirus. I've just got choked on spit. It's okay. And when it is full, it's drawn to shore and set down and gathered the good into vessels, but the bad are cast away. All right? Now, Catch this, there's a time period that happens. The gospel's put out. There's a time that happens, and during that time, all kinds of people are gathered together. Wheat and tares, right? There's the good seed on the bad soil, the good seed on the good soil. There's the good seed on the rocky soil. There's all of these parables that Jesus has already talked about the dividing between the two. And Jesus says that there's coming a time that when this dispensation of grace is over, that he's going to call all of those, he's going to draw in the net, right? He's going to draw in the net. And it says, and it shall be at the end of the world. So when's it going to be?
Last day.
It's at the end of the world, at the last day. So when's the net going to be done? At the end of the world. That's what Jesus said, at the end of the world. So if anybody says it's going to be done before that, they're wrong. If anybody says it's going to be done after that, guess what? They're wrong. Jesus knows when it's going to happen. And he says it will be at the end of this world, this time that we're constrained in. And he says that the angels will come forth and sever, which means divide, the wicked from the just. Who's going to do the dividing?
Angels.
The angels. It's not my job, it's not your job. What is our job then? Amen. Spread the kingdom. Spread the gospel. Love the fish no matter whether they're good or bad. All right? Because that's what Jesus told us, to love each other as I have loved you. Right? That was the commandment that he gave. How will they know that you're fish in the net? How will they know that you're a Christian? It's by your love one for another. Right? It's not by the way that say, ooh, you're a crab. I can't deal with you, you octopus. You shrimp. Just because you're short. Right? And shrimp were considered unclean, right? So those that we think are unclean, God can make clean. Ah, thank you, Lord, for this. When Jesus talked to Peter before he went over to Cornelius' house, he sent him a vision. And a great sheet was dropped down. All kinds of beasts, right? All kinds of things were in there. Unclean things that a good Jew would never chew.
Where does it come from? I don't know. A good Jew would never chew. Man, anyhow. I'm sorry. Please, Lord, stop.
Anyhow, a good Jew would never eat. And he said, no, Lord, I have never touched unclean food. I don't want to eat a raccoon. All right? But the Spirit said, kill and eat. I don't want to kill and eat. Dude, it's nasty. It's escargot. Man, I don't want to eat a snail. I don't want to eat a shrimp or a lobster because they were all considered unclean by the Hebrews. Or a pork chop sandwich. I don't want to eat swine. But God said, what I have made clean, right? All those unclean things, what did God do? He made them clean. And at that time, a knock came on the door, and it was the guards that were sent from Cornelius' house. And the angel told him to go down and don't fear anything. Go with the people. And then he went to a Gentile's house that a good Jew would never go to. There's two. A chewing Jew and a going to Jew. And so they would never go into the house of a centurion. Because they're unclean people. But what God has cleansed, don't you say is uncleansed. This net that's dropped down that will be gathered together at the last day. You might think that you're a clean fish, you're a good fish, and the fish next to you is a bad fish. It's none of your business whether he's a bad fish or not, right? Your business is just to make sure you're a good fish. How do you know that you're a good fish? I'm glad you ask, all right? I'm glad you ask, because Jesus has the answer for that, right? And so we'll move over to Matt. I'll look up. Well, let me finish this. It wasn't that long. I flipped over, I turned, and the page flipped on me. And he says that he'll sever the wicked from the just, verse 49, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay, that's the side you don't want to be on. All right, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Anytime Jesus says that, what happened to you? Change. Right? Anytime that you feel like you're in the weeping and gnashing of teeth side of things, it's time to readjust, right? And come back to the Lord. And so in that, and in thinking about that, oh, Should I do this one or should I do that one?
Okay. Do them both.
Let me make sure that I wrote this down right. There's a couple things. To make sure that you're right with the Lord, James gives us some clues, all right? Y'all like clues? I love clues. Did y'all ever play that game, Clue? And Dr. So-and-so did it with the candlestick in the back room or whatever, you know, that kind of stuff. But in the book of James, chapter 4, John gives us some pretty good insight about some things. Timothy, Hebrews, James, chapter 4, and verse 6 in the latter part of that verse. All right. I'm in 5, that's why I did not read right. 4, okay. 4 and verse 6. But he giveth more grace. That's a great place to start. He gives more grace, all right? I could have started before that, but anyhow. But God gives more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. All right, now, getting into the kingdom, making sure that you're in the right place, what is God going to resist? Starts with P and ends in out. Proud. Okay, he's going to resist the proud, but what's he going to give grace to? The humble. All right, so let me ask you real quick, are you full of pride or are you humble? All right, are you doing your own thing? Are you struggling with that? Well, do you want to be on God's side? Do you want to be a good fish or a bad fish, a green fish or a blue fish? A red fish, blue fish. That was Dr. Seuss. And so, and he says, listen, this is how you do it. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands. All right, another thing about the virus. Cleanse your hands. Cleanse yourself. Who's going to cleanse your hand? You are. You cleanse your hands. Now, God tells you what's dirty on you, right? He tells you what's a good fish and what's a bad fish, what he expects out of you, what you want to do. And he says, you get yourself right. Now, Jesus paid for the sin of the world. So where's your soap? Where are you getting cleansed from? Starts with B. All right, by the blood of the Lamb, by the Word of God. Right? You cleanse yourself with the washing of the water of the Word, right? And so cleanse your hands through the Word of God. And he says, and he, meaning the devil, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God. All right? There's something that you do. You draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Make up your mind. Who's going to make up your mind? You are. God called you. He put you into the net. Now make up your mind. And Joshua, choose you today whom you're going to serve. The gods of Egypt that your father served, or the new, true, and living God? Not the new God, but the true and living God. The gods on this mountain or the gods on that mountain? Who are you going to serve? Now, once you start serving the right God, you have a security in Jesus Christ. You have a foundation that cannot be shaken. You're drawing near to God. He's drawing near to you. You're making your mind up. And anytime that you sin, anytime that you turn away from God, be afflicted and mourn. Be brokenhearted over your sin. Right? Be afflicted and mourn. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, right? Let your laughter and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Fries are done. Oh, is it? Ding! Fries are done. And so, anyhow, I heard that. There I go. Now, as James was telling you, so he gave us some real good clues there. What's going to help us know that we are in Christ Jesus and saved? Are we proud?
Obey.
And abide. Obey and abide humbly. So you can abide with pride.
I'm such a good Christian. Watch me.
I almost broke my arm and pat myself on the back. Now, God resists that. Humble yourselves. When you do sin, and guess what? You will sin. be afflicted and mourn over that. When you walk away, and we will, we do walk away from time to time. Jesus tells us that when you walk away, turn around, come back. Draw near to me. If you find yourself outside of the comfort, outside of the security that you have in Christ Jesus, change. Make a better decision. Turn away from what you were doing and start turning to Jesus Christ. Make that 180. Repent. Right? Repent. Cleanse your hands. You knew, if you're doing something, you know it's against God's will. You're doing this thing and you get up and say, "That's nasty. Go wash your hands. Go to the Word of God. Get cleansed. Repent." Oh, if you confess your sin, He's faithful and just to forgive it. But if you hide your sin with pride, your sin will condemn your soul to hell. I must have read Dr. Seuss this week. I don't know. So don't hide it. Confess it. Come up before it. There's some other things that the Lord tells us that we ought to do. Yeah, I got Matthew 18 here, so I was in 25, so Matthew 18, 13 through 20. I must have the wrong verse here because it's not. "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and be as a little child, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." But that's not this. I wrote the wrong scripture verse here. So I know it's in the Bible. I can't tell you exactly where it is, all right? But this is what Jesus said. He said, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted." What does converted mean? Changed. "Except you be changed and become as a little child, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is great in the kingdom of heaven. And who shall receive a child, one such a child receives me." Now look at that, all right? What's Jesus saying about the kingdom? Except you got to be converted. How's one get converted? Except Jesus, through salvation, you get converted, you get changed. You change from one way to the other. All right. If you're not saved, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, what if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, still living in open sin? What do you need to do?
Repent.
Repent. Amen. Right? Repent. Be that conversion means change. It doesn't mean say a prayer, accept Jesus, and remain the same. Convert, that means to turn. Wash your hands, you filthy sinners. Right? Draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. Humble yourself before God. So that means I got to look at my life and the reality of the Word of God and realize that I am not what I think I am. I think I'm righteous, but ooh, I'm wrong. I think I'm good. Oh, he's such a good person. No, you're not. You're a rotten, stinking sinner. And God loves you, and He wants you to come out of the darkness and into His light. But you got to do that humbly, like a little child. You, when He calls your name, when my mom and stuff was weird the way I was raised, and I don't like to talk about it a lot, although I do, which is kind of weird. One thing that she taught me, when I call your name, you come. Not in 5 minutes from now. Not in 2.5 seconds from now. By the time you hear cur, your tis better be here. All right? Cur, tis, right? And so, anyhow, when I start to call your name, you better start moving in my direction. Because if I feel like you've waited too long, there will be mom to pay. All right? And she was a wonderfully vicious woman. All right? She would beat you until she felt better. Right? And so, in that, Jesus is saying, listen, except you be converted as a little child, you won't by in no means, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You can't get there unless you're converted. He does the conversion, but after the conversion, after that born-again thing happens, there are things you need to do. Do you know that? It's more than just accepting Jesus, because even the demons believe that Jesus is the Lord. The demons ain't in heaven. They're not in the kingdom of God. Right? They're not there. But when you humble yourself as Christ and you turn from your wickedness into his righteousness, now you have security. I am secure because I have turned from darkness to light. And the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, more love he bestows. You know, each day is like heaven. Right? My heart overflows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows, right? And so as I'm converted, as I'm turned to Jesus and I start walking with him, the longer I do that, the longer I stay in his will, the closer I get to him, the better it gets. It just gets gooder and gooder and gooder. It's just sweeter and it's better. And he keeps me close. And my security is not in my good works, but it's his good works towards me. And because what he did for me on the cross and resurrected the third day, I want to please him. I do. I want to. And he made that want in me real. Because before I didn't want to please him. I wanted to do my will, my thing. Jesus also said there's some things that we can know as he separates the sheep from the goats in Matthew 25 and 31. This is right after he talked about the unprofitable servant, where the unprofitable servant will be cast out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. All right? We don't want to be that guy. And Jesus says in that, and we will cover that parable about the talents when we get closer to it, but I wanted to touch on this in verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, when's that?
Last
day, all right? When the net's being emptied out, when the tares are being separated from the wheat, and the last day, right? He comes in his glory, and all of his holy angels with him, and he set upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all the nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. And then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That's going to be a happy day for some folks. Right? It's going to be a happy, happy... But remember, it's a narrow way that gets you there. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the gate that leads to righteousness, to holiness, to the kingdom. And so, prepared from the foundation of the world. And he says, listen, for when I was hungry, you gave me meat. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. And then the righteous shall answer him, saying, Lord, when saw thee hungered and fed thee, or thirst and gave thee a drink, or saw thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? And he says, when we saw you weak or in prison and we came to thee. And the king shall answer, the king's going to answer this, Verily I say unto thee, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. All right? Good fish, bad fish, right? We're all together. You got some sick fish. You got some fish that are in prison. You got some fish that are captured by sin. And the good fish and the bad fish are all gathered in together there in the same net. All right, when that separation comes on that day of glory and God's separating the good from the bad, the sheep from the goat, he's going to say, all the sheep on this side, and this is the work that you did on the earth. I was hungry, you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick, you brought me chicken soup or Kleenex or whatever. You ministered to me. But God, I've never seen you before. This is the first time I ever laid eyes on you. When did all that happen? When you did it to one of the unclean fish, you did it to me. Have you ever thought of it like that? When you did it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. So I can't say because you wear pink sandals, I can't minister to you. You're an unclean fish, you dirty fish. No.
Jesus said, how are they going to know that you're a Christian, that you're one of mine? It's by your love. By your love one to another. Right. Now, that means the church, but it also means the world. Who did Jesus die for?
Everyone.
Who did he raise from the grave for? Everyone. How much of the sin debt did he pay for? All of it. Now, Jesus is on his throne in heaven. And who did he leave here? Fish caught in the net. Right? For the kingdom of God on that last day when he separates it. Or like a shepherd separates the sheep from the goat. Now, what are the good fish supposed to do surrounded by all the bad fish? Minister, amen. Be a servant to the unclean fish. Right? Sheep and the goats in the same pen. You think it's a bad mix, but it's real time. It's horrible. I'm horrible. My mind is horrible. You think it's a bad mix, but it's really not. God brought us together, and he mixes us, the righteous with the unrighteous. He mixes the good with the bad. He mixes the sheep with the goat. He mixes the tares with the wheat. And he raises us up together so that on the last day he can divide us out. Some of the dividing things that he'll use is, were you humble? Did you cleanse your hands, you sinners? Did you draw near to God where he could draw near to you? That's what changes a person, right? It's the Spirit of God calling on me because I was an unclean fish caught in the net. Right? There was nothing good about it. While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me, and he called me while I was still an unclean, uncircumcised Philistine filled with anger and nastiness and yuck. And he redeemed me when I was filled with slugs and disgusting. And he took me in, and he washed me, and he cleansed me. And he left me here in the bag with other folks covered with slugs. Right? Why? That I could love them the way that he loved me. Amen. Because he loves us. That's why he did it. And one day, there's coming a day that he's going to separate all this stuff. We're going to be held together until that day, but there's coming a day where he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. There's coming a day when the wheat are going to be taken from the tares. There's coming a day where there's this great separation. The good fish, the bad fish are going to be pulled away from each other. But hopefully, by the grace of God, I'm going to have a couple other with me. Because I love this bad fish. I love that tear. I loved that unclean, slug-covered aluminum can that was beside me in the holding bin until that day. And how did I love him? I tended to him. When they were sick, I came to them. When they were thirsty, I gave them a drink. When they were hungry, I gave them food. When they needed clothing, I gave it to them. When they needed shelter, we gave it to them. Even before
we were worthy, Jesus did it for us, right? And as he finishes this, when I saw thee as a stranger, And the king shall answer and say to them, verily, my tongue is covering my high teeth. I couldn't see what I was saying, so let's get that squared away. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it to the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then he shall say unto them on the left hand, which are the goats, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So hell's not meant for any human being. What was the fire meant for? It says right there, the devil and his angels. That's what it was prepared for. So if a human goes to hell, they go on their own free will. You know that? Because you rejected Jesus Christ at the call, and then after that, you didn't love people the way that you were supposed to love people. It's kind of, ooh. He says, again, he goes through the same thing. For when I was hungry, You gave me no meat. I was thirsty. You gave me no drink. When I was a stranger, you took me not yet, naked, and you clothed me not, sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer and say unto them, Lord, when we saw thee hungry and athirst and naked or sick or prison or, and did not minister unto you, then shall he answer them truthfully, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. Then these shall go away unto everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life. A division of kingdoms. And I think Jesus spelled it out pretty simple there. As I was talking to one of my learned pastor friends this week over the phone, he says, well, maybe that's just the way you interpret it. How can you interpret that any other way? I think Jesus laid it out pretty plain. We're all in net. You know, we're all in the same field. The seed's been planted. The things are growing. Miracles are happening every day because anytime someone gets saved, you were unrighteous, and God saved you in the middle of your unrighteousness. Right? He saw you there as a sinner, condemned, unclean. And he loved you there as a sinner, condemned, unclean. And then he shined a light on you. And you had to react one of two ways. You embraced the light and drew near to God, or you covered your eyes and you turned away. And anyone who covers their eyes and turns away, their heart becomes harder. And they get further away. But God, who's rich in mercy and rich in grace, continues to call you until you breathe your last breath. Then the choice is already made. Then it's sealed. You can't do anything at that point. Because you had a chance all this life to accept him. You had a chance all this life to allow him to change you from darkness to light, from bad fish to good fish, from tares to wheat. And he died for the sin of the world. He died for the sin of every human being. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, which was that deep fellowship that Adam and Eve had in the garden. He came to repair that for everyone who would come. Now, again, God knows who will and who won't. I don't. I am not God. I am not the Holy Spirit. You're not God and you're not the Holy Spirit. So love others as God has loved you. And there is no greater love than this, that you would lay down your life for your brothers. And who's your brother? Everyone. You all came from Adam. All right, Adam and Eve, everybody came from that. So guess what? We're all brothers and sisters. All right? And if you say, well, this is a long time ago. Well, all right, Noah. All right, you came from one of those cats, because before that, everybody else drowned. And there's coming a day where there will be no mistake in who you have chosen. So I'm going to ask you today, have you understood these things? And if you have understood them, what are you going to do about it? Is there something in your life you need to come out of? Is there a darkness that is in you that you need to repent from? Is there something that keeps you away from the fellowship of believers? Choose you today who you're going to serve. Right? Just choose. My hands are off. The Holy Spirit's already doing work in your heart right now. I can see it because you look uncomfortable, right? And so I know that the Holy Spirit's already pricking at your heart and showing you things. Now, what you do next is what you really believe about God, right? It's all up to you. And I got through the whole sermon. Amen. Amen. That doesn't happen all the time. It took an hour and 15 minutes, but we made it, right? And so anyhow, let's go to the Lord and give him thanks. Father, we do thank you. I pray for the folks here and within the sound of my voice, Lord Jesus, that you would move over your people. Lord, that you would bless them with every spiritual blessing. Father, I pray that you would help us to turn away from ourselves and turn into you. That we would be conformed into your image while we're still yet here on this earth. That your glory would show through us with kindness and mercy and compassion. Father, that we would teach others about the kingdom of the Most High God. We thank you. We praise you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.